Sunday we get sunshine, mixing with some clouds at times with a high of 60. I'm Bob Barnum, and that is the latest from the WFAS Weather Center. The following is a paid program. The opinions expressed are solely those of the sponsor and not necessarily those of WFAS or its advertisers.
Peace of mind with Lippman Crooks.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Bernie Crooks, host of Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney. We're heard right here on WFAS AM 1230 every Thursday evening from 6:05 to 6:35 p.m. And I'm with the law firm Lippman Crooks. We've got offices right here in White Plains, in Fishkill, New York, and in New York City. And this week, our guest is Steve Lamoureux. Steve, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's great to have you here. And just tell us, Steve, what company are you with? Okay.
I specialize in reverse mortgages.
Reverse mortgages.
For a major lender.
For a major lender. All right. So reverse mortgage. Is that a mortgage in reverse?
Sort of. Yes, exactly.
So tell me more about what a reverse mortgage is.
A reverse mortgage allows a senior homeowner, at least 62 years old, to borrow some of the money out of their home without incurring a new monthly repayment.
So you have to be a certain age. So somebody who's 60 can't do this.
Not yet.
So who would want to do this? Why would somebody want to take out a reverse mortgage?
The average borrower is typically someone who has maybe outlived their savings, or property taxes are higher than they used to be or they anticipated them to be. Or in half the cases I've dealt with in the last 6 years, it's to pay for in-home care.
So they don't have other money in the bank?
They've usually spent it out. Or because of what's happened in the market over the last, it isn't what it was.
So they're spending their kids' inheritance.
Yes. Who said the kids deserve an inheritance?
Well, I mean, I guess if you ask the kids, right? It depends who you ask, right?
Right, exactly.
So somebody would, in effect, borrow the equity that they have in their house.
It is a line of credit.
So you can you can take it out over time?
Yes.
Can you also take it out all at once?
You can. Bad way to do it, unless you have to, because a reverse mortgage has to refinance any existing mortgage first.
So if you have a mortgage, you can't do it?
If you have a mortgage larger than we can refinance, it's going to be difficult to do, unless you can bring money to the table.
So tell me how a typical transaction would work.
All right. If you have for a borrower under 62 or under 70 or over 70, because it seems to be a break point there. For most homeowners we deal with over 70, they haven't had a mortgage in a very long time. All right. There's a different mindset. As we get closer to the baby boomers, they are retiring with large mortgages. So for the individual that has no mortgage, by taking a reverse mortgage or this line of credit, they increase their cash flow by borrowing a little money out of their house. And if they manage that properly, they will get the money they need, and they'll still leave plenty for their heirs. For the individual who's got a mortgage, and is going into retirement, by refinancing their current mortgage into a reverse mortgage, they have eliminated their mortgage payment, which increases their cash flow that way. All right, but it will eat into the equity of the property much quicker because they're borrowing a large amount of money up front.
And the reason that they have to pay down their existing mortgage?
The reason the reverse mortgage has to pay it off?
Yeah.
Is the reverse mortgage has to be in the first lien position. So you can't have a mortgage and then take a reverse mortgage behind it. And you also can't have a reverse mortgage, and another lender will not take a second position, a subordinate position, behind a reverse mortgage, because the reverse mortgage by design is a negatively amortizing debt. It will grow bigger over time because the interest you're not paying every month is being added to your debt.
So then it's fair to say that if somebody has a reverse mortgage, that's their only mortgage.
Yes.
Right, because you wouldn't want to be behind it, and you're not allowed to be in front of it.
Correct.
Now, who says you're not allowed to be in front of it? The government?
Yes.
So there's a law that says if you take out a reverse mortgage, then you have to pay off your existing mortgage.
Yes.
Now, you mentioned that there seems to be a dichotomy between the under 70 borrower and the over 70. That's a function of the lifestyles we live, the willingness to take on debt. Tell me about that.
That's exactly it. I mean, the baby boomers have understood home equity as a their home as a financial asset, as a financial tool. And we've leveraged the heck out of it for our lifetime. when you talk to a senior over 70 and you ask them how long they've lived in the house, it's typically been a long time, and you ask them what they paid for it, and they tell you $13,000, it's not worth $500,000, and the next breath out of their mouth is, and we paid it off in 6 years. You know, there's an aversion to maintaining a mortgage on a property. And they may have had to take lines of credit from time to time, but even those they paid off as rapidly as possible. So the whole idea of a mortgage, taking this mortgage, for most seniors, older seniors, psychologically reverse mortgage is an indication of failure. I mean, they either outlived their money because they're very old, and now we're talking about the late 80-year-olds. Their whole mindset, their whole culture is leverage is a bad thing. And even though they have had the most incredible appreciation beyond their wildest dreams on the home that they own, it is still not for them considered a financial asset. It is the place they live in is worth a lot of money. They want to leave it, but they don't want to touch it.
So who's right, the under 70-year-olds or the over 70-year-olds?
I think it's somewhere in the middle. It's extremes in either case. The baby boomers have leveraged it too much, and their problem is they're retiring now with big mortgages they can't afford to carry. And the older senior should look at their house as a financial asset and tap some of it if they need it versus starving themselves to death or not getting the medication they need and so forth. So there's a road somewhere down the middle, and nobody's found it exactly.
So when you say they can't afford to carry it, they took on the debt while they were working and had the income to pay the carrying charges, and then they stop working and their Social Security is not enough?
Right. Well, the idea has always been for baby boomers is that keep your house leveraged. Take that money, invest it, and save it so that when you retire, you've got this big investment pool. The problem is baby boomers didn't save the difference. They spent it.
They bought cars and went on trips.
They just spent it. You know, and they frittered it away, but I mean, they didn't save like they were supposed to, so they're left with far less savings and a big mortgage that they can't afford to carry.
All right, so the first generation is worried about what's going to happen tomorrow, and the baby boomer generation is worried about we might not make it till tomorrow.
Right, they don't care about tomorrow because I'm having a great time today. Yeah, that's been the mindset.
So it sounds like you need to be part psychiatrist.
It's going to be a lot less fun to do my job as baby boomer as more and more of them age into, and they statistically hit 62 last year. Dealing with the current senior generation, this has really been a very rewarding job and getting people to understand that their house is a financial asset, and in fact they're not going to do any harm if they spend a little of it, because these people lived frugally. They're going to continue to use this mortgage money frugally, and everybody wins in that scenario, unless they get ill. And if they get ill, then you're starting to talk about burning through a lot of money very quickly.
Now, I mentioned psychiatry just only half jokingly, but it's true that somebody who signs up for a reverse mortgage does have to go to counseling, don't they?
It's not psychological counseling.
But it's counseling.
They have to protect them from me, all right, or anybody like me. The FHA requires that any borrower who is going to apply for reverse mortgage has to be counseled by a HUD-trained or approved counseling agency, which simply reviews the fact that they understand that this is a loan on their house, that it's going to get bigger over time, that it's that it's real money. They hit the high points of a reverse mortgage, and when that counseling is done, and it takes roughly half an hour, the borrower receives a counseling certificate, and after they have that certificate, they can then apply for reverse mortgage.
Now, you can't do the counseling on a transaction where you're making the loan, right? It has to be someone else?
These are counseling agencies. The same credit agencies that do other kind of counseling also do reverse mortgage counseling. It's not the lenders. Lenders don't do the counseling.
Okay, so it's a completely separate entity.
Right.
Now, do people need counseling? Are they required to get counseling for typical loans?
No.
So what's it about a reverse mortgage that the government thinks you need counseling?
Seniors have always been a target for scam. And they still are. And they still are with this program, with reverse mortgages. There's a lot of unscrupulous characters out there, and you're dealing – the temptation for the unscrupulous is that this is a very large asset, that there's tremendous opportunity to do people out of a lot of money, and the counseling is supposed to try to help seniors from getting duped.
Now, give me an example of how somebody can get duped. What can someone in your shoes do that they probably shouldn't do?
someone in my shoes, because I work for a mortgage lender, is limited to doing just the loan. The problem is that we have brokers out there that also sell other products. And it's not that the reverse mortgage they're doing is wrong. It's the way that the money that comes out of that is inappropriately invested, abused, stolen, whatever.
So what would be something that some unscrupulous broker could recommend to a potential senior client that you wouldn't do or be permitted to do? I need a red flag, something that take out a reverse mortgage so you can do X.
All right, so that you can buy an annuity.
And then get more commissions.
Right, so that the incentive for the unscrupulous broker, if you want, for lack of a better description, is that they're getting a decent commission for the reverse mortgage. They're getting a much larger commission for wherever that money is being invested, or they're stealing it. I mean, you know, then you get issues with titles and deeds being changed and so forth. And you know, this.
Well, that goes without question, without saying. But are there any circumstances where it might make sense for someone to purchase an annuity and not have the money to do it, and it would be appropriate to take the money out of the house?
No, because the annuity is, let's say you take $100,000 out and you buy from a reverse mortgage and you buy a $100,000 annuity. And that's going to pay you a stream of money, perhaps for life. It could be, a guaranteed annuity. The problem is that the reverse mortgage, the $100,000 you have borrowed, is compounding interest. So even if an average rate of 6%, and it's much lower than that now, it's less than 3, but an average rate of 6% in 12 years, $100,000 becomes $200,000. So you've got a $100,000 annuity that's paying you out, and you've built a $200,000 debt to get it in 12 years.
That sounds like you're underwater pretty quickly.
Yes, right. And it's unnecessary, because one of the options you can receive from a reverse mortgage is a lifetime check, like an annuity, except you're not taking it out once, you're trickling the money out every month. And by doing it that way, you're building the debt much slower, because you're not taking a lump sum out. You're getting the same cash flow without building the debt the same way.
So the customer or the client gets the same benefit, the same amount of money each month, except that instead of paying two commissions, they pay one. And instead of owing $200,000 at the end of the day, they owe something less.
Or 100. Yes, they're going to owe less. Because even the 100 they borrow is going to accrue interest, but the interest is accruing slower.
I'm talking with Steve Lamoureux about reverse mortgages. I'm Bernie Crooks, host of Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney. We'll take a short break and we'll be right back.
Every parent worries about their kids. Unfortunately, when you have a child with disabilities, the worries are much greater.
Here's Bernie Crooks from the law firm of Littman Crooks.
Amy and Bruce had been talking about going to a lawyer to help them ever since Charlie was born. Charlie has cerebral palsy.
The experts at Littman Crooks helped Amy and Bruce set up a special needs trust to provide for Charlie's medical and financial needs for today and for the future.
The rules are very complex. You truly do need an expert to help you navigate through all the federal and state regulations to make sure that your child gets the benefits he or she is entitled to.
Do you have a child with special needs? Call the law offices of Littman Crooks.
We don't know what the future holds for Amy, Bruce, or their son Charlie, but what Amy and Bruce do know is that they've done everything in their power to ensure that Charlie has the best quality of life possible when Amy and Bruce are here and when they're not here.
Peace of mind.
Littman Crooks in White Plains, Manhattan, and Fishkill, or at littmancrooks.com.
Welcome back to Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney. I'm your host, Bernie Crooks, and I'm speaking with Steve Lamoureux about a reverse mortgage, which is exactly what it sounds like, a mortgage in reverse. And before the break, we were talking about some things that you ought not to be doing if you're taking out a reverse mortgage. One was buying an annuity, because you'd be paying double commissions and you'd owe a heck of a lot more money at the end of the day than you would otherwise owe under the mortgage. But there've got to be some situations where taking out a reverse mortgage and using the money to buy something else is appropriate, aren't there?
There can be. I mean, in the numbers I see, because I mentioned before, half the money I've raised is to pay for in-home care.
So you can't take care of yourself, and you might have to go into a nursing home, but the reverse mortgage allows you to stay at home?
Right, allows you to bring someone into the house. This is a good thing. And there's enough equity in the house right now to make that work for seniors today. All right. The problem is going forward, if you extrapolate inflation into the cost of long-term care, as an example, if a 65-year-old needs care 20 years from now. All right?
Right.
The cost of that care is going to be about $1.5 million.
Per year?
No, for five years. For five years. One and a half. So $300,000+ per year. And it is unlikely that you're going to have enough equity in your house, unless you live on the water in Greenwich, to be able to pay for that kind of coverage out of the equity in your house. All right. So from my way of thinking, the best use for reverse mortgage money today for a young senior, if they don't need it for anything else, is to use the some of this money to pay for long-term care insurance. Now, the risk of that with any – it's the same risk you have buying it with your own cash is that you wake up dead and you didn't get to use it. And on top of the cost of the premiums, you've also accrued interest against that as well. But if you look at borrowing, let's say, $100,000 or $200,000 to buy $1.5 million worth of protection, was it worth the risk to do that? And the advantage of using your house to do that is that it didn't affect your retirement plan. It didn't come out of your pocket. It came out of your house. It's an invisible use of your – it's leveraging the house as a financial asset without affecting your retirement plan. Because if you're in your 60s and you haven't thought about long-term care and you're now suddenly the caregiver or the care manager for a very elderly relative, it's going to hit you square across the head that you should do something. And if you didn't start doing it when you were in your 40s or 50s, it's a lot more expensive to even start it in your 60s, but it's still a bargain when you look at the benefit you're going to have when you need it in your 80s.
So it's possible that it could make sense for somebody who wants to have the peace of mind of knowing that their future or potential long-term care expenses will be covered, and they can do this without impacting their current quality of life.
Correct.
All right. So that's a good deal.
Right. You're leveraging a little bit of what of an asset you wouldn't ordinarily use to buy a benefit that you couldn't. It doesn't work for life insurance, but it works for long-term care.
And you
insurance.
Mentioned a younger senior, because if it's an older senior, the cost of the insurance would be prohibitive, or they might be able to.
They're not going to qualify for long-term care insurance. I don't sell long-term care insurance.
Right.
But you know, if you're over 70, it is, unless you're Jack LaLanne, you're not getting long-term care insurance.
All right. Now, reverse mortgage, there's got to be some other limitations. They're not just going to give you any amount of money, right?
No, the loan amount you get is based upon your the age of the youngest borrower, the value of your home, and then you get a percentage of that. The older you are, the more you get.
Why do you get more if you're older?
There's less time to spend it. There's less time for the debt to accrue is really what it comes down to. If you're younger, this is a negatively amortizing debt. They're adding interest to it every month.
But you don't pay it. They just add it. Right?
You
so it's like a book
it.
Entry. But you don't have to.
But you don't have to.
But if you don't, then the interest accrues on the interest?
Exactly. So this is compounding interest over time. If you're 96 years old and you have a $600,000 house, they're going to give you $480,000 right now.
And if you were 65 years old or 62?
If you were 62, you're going to get something under $300,000.
So that's a big difference.
Oh, yeah. But the reality is that the risk to that the risk of that 62-year-old person having a debt that's going to be huge – three or four times what they started at, two or three times what they started at, is much greater than somebody who's 96 today. And, you know,
can you ever owe more than what the house is worth? Are your heirs going to get stuck with a debt?
No. The ultimate guarantee of any reverse mortgage is that if you owe more than the house is worth, that's not your problem. You have paid the FHA, and they're the only lender right now, you have paid the FHA an insurance premium up front. That's why the closing costs are so high, to guarantee against that risk.
You've mentioned this a couple of times, the fees and the costs. What are they? I mean, for a typical loan, let's say you were going to buy a house, what would somebody expect to pay in closing costs and fees?
Depending on the let's say if you were going to buy a $600,000 house.
Yeah.
I don't do forward mortgages. My guess it would be somewhere around $6,000 or $7,000.
Okay, and by comparison, a reverse mortgage for the same house?
$20,000, $22,000.
So it's three times.
Just about, yep.
Now, where does that money go? What's it for?
Half of the $22,000 in reverse mortgage closing costs, half of that, $12,510 of it to be exact, goes to the FHA to guarantee your loan. That's the insurance premium you're paying on a $600,000 house. If it's a $300,000 house, the closing costs are closer to $14,000.
Is that what they call gap insurance, in effect? It covers the gap in the value of the house when you die versus...
Yeah, I guess you could call it that.
Okay,
yeah.
So that's the VIG, if you will, the premium that you pay the government because they're taking a risk.
Yes, they are taking the ultimate risk that, that your house will depreciate. But what's good about it is that once you have the loan, it takes on a life of its own. Your house could, once you have it, your house could depreciate to zero, and you would have this loan available to you. It's never recalculated. It's never reset. They don't come back and reassess the house. Once you have that loan, it is based upon the value of and your age when you got it. And from then on, it takes on a life of its own.
So there's really two risks or two components of the risk that the government takes. One is you might live too long and they have to keep paying out money for the rest of your life.
If you're receiving a monthly check, yes, they can pay you forever.
And the second risk is we could have another real estate crash and the house could be worth a lot less.
Correct.
So you pay $12,000 for that. Okay, that doesn't seem like so bad a deal.
If you're 62, that's not bad.
Right, but if you're
96, this is an expensive short-term loan.
Oh, so the fee is the same.
Yes.
Ah, so even though the government has a much greater risk of losing on the 60-year-old than they do on the 96-year-old, they charge the same premium?
The fee is exactly the same, yes.
And the rest of the fee, the other $10,000 or so?
You've got a maximum of $6,000 to the lender.
So the lender makes a fee of $6,000, yep. no more than $6,000.
So any house worth more than $400,000, that's capped off. So.
It doesn't matter which lender you go to, it's statutory fee.
Yes, right. The next largest fee would be the title insurance.
You need title insurance on this?
Title insurance. It's a mortgage. They have to run the title to make sure the house is, you know, the liens are clear and you get that guarantee. So you're buying title insurance. The next biggest fee is the attorney fee or the closing, you know, the closing agent's fee.
Right.
Attorney, title agent, whoever you're using. And then the last of the five fees is the appraisal. And the appraisal, it's an FHA appraisal, is $400 or $500.
So now I see why you need the counseling. A lot of stuff goes into it.
This is not just a loan from a lender. Yeah, this is real money.
I'm Bernie Crooks. I'm speaking with Steve Lamoureux about reverse mortgages. We'll take a short break and we'll be right back.
Unexpected medical crises can turn lives upside down. Here's Bernie Crooks from the law firm of Littman Crooks.
Barbara called. I could tell something was wrong. She was calling from the hospital. Her husband had a stroke. Harry was going to need care in a long-term facility, perhaps for the rest of his life.
Barbara couldn't find the necessary documents.
Unfortunately, this is all too common. One spouse gets sick and the other spouse has absolutely no idea where the financial records are.
Harry quickly got the care he needed. In addition to helping Barbara gather and submit the appropriate paperwork, the experts at Littman Crooks also helped access government-financed health care to help pay Harry's medical bills.
Although we can't help Harry get better, Barbara has the peace of mind of knowing their hard-earned family assets will be available to help pay for Barbara's care in the future and to pass on to their children and grandchildren and not be eaten away by the cost of Harry's long-term care.
When a medical crisis strikes, call the law offices of Littman Crooks in White Plains and Manhattan.
Peace of mind with Littman Crooks.
Call 914-684-2100.
Also located in Fishkill.
Welcome back to the show. I'm Bernie Crooks from the law firm Littman Crooks. We're based right here in White Plains, and also we've got offices in Fishkill, New York, and in New York City. This is the Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney show, heard right here on WFAS AM 1230 every Thursday evening from 6:05 to 6:35 p.m. And tonight we're speaking with Steve Lamoureux about reverse mortgages. And before the break, we're talking about some of the fees that are involved in reverse mortgages and how important it is to get counseling. Now, this is a federal program that changes, right? It's not set in stone, is it?
It has been changing rapidly lately. Yes.
Tell us about some of the more recent changes that people need to know about.
Well, as of a week ago today, because of this long-term risk that the FHA is looking at, as far as the idea of people borrowing a lot of money up front and then the government having to pay out at the end, they reduced the loan amounts by 10%.
So you get less money now.
You get less money than you did 2 weeks ago.
Was that based on empirical data where they realized that this was a huge liability or just somebody's projecting it?
No, because of the decline in home values, because of some of the loans that are projected to come due this next fiscal year, there was a report that came out that the FHA could have been had a shortfall of almost $800 million.
Where did they get that money from, you and me?
It's tax money. Well, it comes from the insurance pool, but then beyond that, they had to go to Congress. They haven't done it yet. That's why they made this adjustment. They were going to have to go to Congress to ask for $800 million.
Well, the adjustment is only going to help them prospectively, right?
Right.
So if they're right about these debts coming due and the values being low, they're going to need to get the money.
They will ultimately need to get the money, and Congress hasn't approved it yet.
Okay. Other changes?
Well, the expectation, there are two bills in Congress right now. One that would reduce the loan amounts by probably another, I don't know, 15%.
So, again, same thing, the loan-to-value or the actual amount that you can borrow?
Well, the loan-to-value is the amount you can borrow. They would reduce it. And one of the bills, the House, the Senate bill, would reduce the maximum value. Right now, the maximum value across the country is $625,500. That's the maximum home value, and you get a percentage of that.
That wasn't changed on October 1st.
That wasn't changed on October 1st. But they just limited. The Senate bill would reduce that to $417,000 in January.
It used to be at four something.
No,
right?
It was $362,790 last year.
Right.
Then it went to 417 last November. They jumped it to 625, and we knew it was temporary.
Why did they do that?
It was part of the economic stimulus package.
Oh, to provide liquidity for people
who
had lost all their money in the market?
Right, exactly. So it helped, hopefully kept some seniors in their house. That is being reduced now either in January, according to the Senate bill, or next September, according to the House bill.
To the same number, 417?
That has remained the conforming loan amount. On the forward side of the world, on the traditional mortgage side, if you want to get a loan more than 417,
it's called
a jumbo mortgage, right? Except for the FHA, which also created these artificial caps over $700,000 in this area. But those are going away at the end of December as well.
So if someone's thinking about doing this, now might not be a bad time.
This may be the most anyone ever gets to see on a reverse mortgage between now and the end of the year.
So if you have a house in Westchester, it's not uncommon to have homes, even in the current environment, worth more than $1 million.
Well, at least they used to be.
Well, let's assume they still are.
Right.
That person can't get any more money than somebody who's got a home that's worth $625,000,
correct.
Right?
Everything, we're maxing out at $625,500.
All right, let's spend a couple minutes talking about some of the tax angles here. Is any of this taxable?
No.
So when you borrow, because you're borrowing your own money?
Right. It's not free because you're being charged interest on it. But, yes, it is no different than taking money out of a home equity line. You're not reporting this money.
Is the interest deductible?
If you pay it.
If you don't?
It's not deductible.
Do your heirs get a deduction or when you
die? Whenever that interest is finally repaid, whether it's because you sell the house or the estate sells the house, that lump of accrued interest is going to be deductible against the sale price of the house.
So for all those years that you had the reverse mortgage outstanding, it'll all add up to some amount and be deductible at that point
in
time?
Right. Or, and what we begin to see with younger seniors is this idea of rolling their current mortgage into a reverse mortgage and continuing to pay it. But now because it's a voluntary repayment, not a mandatory one, when they repay it, they're paying back interest, and they'll get deductions in that year. But it allows the senior homeowner, the young senior homeowner, to now manage on their schedule how they repay the loan, because income isn't always coming in the same every month.
Right.
So they can now begin to pay that back voluntarily, and it is a liquid pool of money. As a line of credit, they pay it down, they borrow it back out. It is for life. It's not a 10-year window like a bank. Like a bank line of credit. This is a loan available to them for as long as they live in that house with no requalification.
Now, I've actually heard some people take out reverse mortgage now to downsize and buy a new home.
You can do that.
So is that a relative?
That's something new this year.
Right,
you're buying a house with a reverse mortgage.
We're going to come back and finish up with Steve Lamoureux right after this short break.
Sooner or later, disability or illness strikes every family. And unfortunately, that's not the time to do the planning. The best time is in advance, before a crisis strikes.
Bernie Crooks from the law firm of Lipman Crooks.
Susan, Vincent and Sheila's oldest daughter, had called us because one of her friend's parents recently had been diagnosed with Alzheimer's, and their financial affairs were a mess. They had not done any advance planning.
Susan didn't want that to happen to her parents. The caring professionals at Lipman Crooks helped her design a comprehensive plan that provided for long-term care while protecting her parents' hard-earned assets.
Susan and her siblings now have the peace of mind of knowing that their parents can go on with the rest of their lives without having to worry about what would happen if one of them became sick or disabled.
Your parents had big plans for you. Make sure you have one for them. Call the law offices of Lipman Crooks in White Plains and Manhattan.
Peace of mind with Lipman Crooks.
Call 914-684-2100.
Also located in Fishkill.
All right, we're finishing up here with Steve Lamoureux. Just some closing thoughts here on reverse mortgages. Lots of listeners like to go on the Internet or find out some more information. Where can they go?
The AARP has a lot of information about reverse mortgages.
So you go to their website?
Yeah, the AARP website is good. The Office of the Comptroller of the Currency, they have a new flyer, multi-page flyer, that just came out like last week about reverse mortgages. And any counseling agency now that's been approved by HUD would be able and now has to provide a flyer by the National Coalition on Aging has a flyer, and they would provide that to you. So there's a lot, all of a sudden, because there's an expectation of an increased demand, there are some decent third-party documents that you can get.
I guess the more information, the better, right? To make an educated choice?
To make an educated choice,
and if people want to get in touch with you, how do they do that, Steve?
They can call. I'm in Connecticut, 203-918-0015.
But you do assist people in Westchester County?
Yes. Anywhere in the New York metropolitan area.
Steve, thanks for being on the show.
Bernie, thanks for having me.
This is Bernie Crooks, host of Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney. We'll be back next week. Until then, good night, everyone.